prisons. I could just stay. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you. Hope to feel something again. I could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe. Oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, and you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. But you have called me higher, and you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord.
Where you lead me.
Oh, I could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe, oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down, but you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord,
where you lead me.
And I will be yours, oh, I will be yours for all my life.
I will be yours, oh, I will be yours for all my life.
I will be yours, oh, I will be yours for all my life, so let your mercy, oh, I will be yours, Lord, I will be yours for all my life, so let your mercy light the path before me, cause you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. Cause you have called me higher, and you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. Cause you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. Cause you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord.
Where you lead me, you lead me, Lord.
Let's stand and let's pray together tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can come together tonight to sing about you. God, and we just thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And we thank you that we live in a country that puts aside at least just one day a year that we can rest and think about what we are thankful for. Lord, I pray that as we open our service tonight, Lord, I ask that we could just declare together as we sing what we believe about you. Lord, just let us treasure that in our hearts tonight and let us rejoice in that together.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through you the Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus, our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you.
descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. Well, I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in you, I believe you rose again, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, I believe in life eternal, I believe in the virgin birth, I believe in the saints' communion, and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas, his hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, he shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh, let me never forget. And though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler, yeah. This is my Father's world, why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let the earth be glad. Sing that again. This is my Father's world, why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring, God reigns, let the earth be glad.
I'm going to read tonight from Colossians 3. If you'd like to read along with me, it's going to be page 1834 in the Bibles in the pews. Colossians 3:1 through 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father through him.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my shield and my sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, be thou my might. Thou my soul's shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, be first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Oh, high King of heaven, when victory is heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, oh, ruler of all.
But before we get to that, I do just want to pause and take just a minute to consider the scriptures that Jen read, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And it's up there because I'm not actually going to read the whole thing and preach through the whole thing, because I would end up going for 45 minutes. And I know you're all here primarily for pie and songs about Jesus. So if you have a Bible, look at that. And really, just I encourage you to read that passage throughout the weekend as you consider, what are we doing? What's the purpose of giving thanks? You know, there's some national reasons why we have a day of Thanksgiving, and some amazing reasons. I mean, praise God that we live in a country where we're free to gather together and worship Him openly and freely, and where we've been given abundantly more than all we could ask or imagine. We have it extremely well, and we have very, very many material things and reasons to give thanks for. But even in that, I know that everyone in this room comes from different backgrounds, different experiences, right? We can't assume that everyone is walking into a Thanksgiving celebration tomorrow with their family all present, or with healthy and encouraging relationships with all their family or friends. And so what we really need to do is lift our eyes up from the material things around us. We need to lift our eyes to God. And so the title here is The Gospel Gives. And really what I want to do for just a moment is to remind us that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came on our behalf, the Son of God came on our behalf, He lived a perfect life, He died a death in our place, and has given us new life, the free gift of salvation. And when we remember the gospel, we can actually have a better holiday. You can enjoy Thanksgiving to the full, you can enjoy Christmas to the full. Tomorrow kind of kicks off the season of holidays, doesn't it? You go from Thanksgiving into the new year, and there's tons of gatherings, tons of family, friends, work celebrations, times to get together, times to eat food, times to have fun, times to have different parties. And so as we approach the season, I just want to remind us to keep our eyes fixed on the gospel, to preach the gospel to ourselves, to remind ourselves of the gospel. Colossians chapter 3, it starts out and it says this: "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." That's the gospel. If we've been raised with Christ, if we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we can fix our eyes that are on things above. If we remember the gospel that Jesus died in our place and we have free life through Him, the gospel gives us a better vision. That's kind of the big idea. The gospel gives us a better vision for Thanksgiving. It gives us a better vision for Christmas. It gives us a better vision for the new year. It gives us a better vision for all of the events that surround this holiday season. That's really good news, because some of you may dread the events that surround the holiday season. Some of you may be looking forward to it, but it may be for the wrong reasons. And then when things don't go just the way that you want them to, it kind of throws off the holiday or the celebration. So the gospel gives us a better vision for the holidays. The song that we just sang, "Be Thou My Vision," I love the first line. Actually, every line throughout the song, but the first line says, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart." What are we living for? Has the gospel given us a big enough vision that we can embrace all of the joy and chaos that comes with the holiday season? And we see it right there in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you have a vision of the gospel, if you're reminded of the gospel, you have hope for the holiday season. I just want to quickly look at four things that the gospel gives us a better vision for practically as we approach the holidays. So the first one, it gives us a new perspective. I'm not going to reread it, but in verses 5 through 11, you can see what life without the gospel is like. Verse 5, it says, "Put to death." So Paul is writing to this church and he says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." A vision of the world, a vision of material things, a vision that's not from God. He says, "Put that to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness." A lot of times, doesn't that surround the holiday season? Covetousness, wanting more, desires, passions that aren't necessarily godly. Black Friday hits, right? Some of you are probably going to go observe Black Friday. Can we say observe Black Friday? Maybe go participate. That's fine. I'm not saying don't go do it. But what's the motivation? If you're going, having fun with friends, getting gifts, great. But some people live for that. don't they? There's this idea of covetousness, and they want more, and they want more, and they're trying to get more, and they want to give more, but then people are also thinking, oh, I hope other people get these gifts for me as the holiday season approaches. So the gospel gives us a new perspective. Verses 5 through 11, it says, this is what you used to live for, covetousness, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. There was this dysfunction in your life. And then verses 12 through 17 give us a greater vision. Rather than covetousness, it says, put to death, verse 5, what is earthly in you. And verse 12, put on as God's chosen one something better, a greater vision, a better purpose, a new perspective. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That brings us into the second practical thing. The gospel gives us needed patience. Some of you probably really need patience as you do your gatherings, don't you? Maybe you don't get along with your family extremely well, and there's been some friction there, and you need to work through some relationships. This says that the gospel says, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. A gospel vision gives us a better holiday because we can enter into whatever parties or gatherings that we're going into with a gospel-powered patience. We don't just merely have to grin and bear it with those who, maybe it's a work party, a family party, or maybe it's just everyone gets along really well, but there's like 100 of you in the same house trying to eat around a crowded table, and there's kids, and that's how my Thanksgiving's going to be. Kids everywhere needs patience. And the gospel gives us the patience and the power to enjoy our setting. And we can let go of trying to control the setting around us. We have patience. The gospel gives us needed patience to enjoy the holiday season to the fullest. The third thing it gives us is desired family. One of the things as a pastor that I struggle with as we approach the holiday seasons is I know people in the church, and I know that there's a lot of brokenness in the church. Broken families and people who have been affected by death and divorce, and there's people who may not have a place to go. You know, we talk a lot about all these family gatherings and everyone's coming over, I'm going to someone else's house, and then there's people within the church who think, I wish I had a place to go. And then they hear other people in the church complaining maybe about, oh, I have to put up with this uncle or that aunt or whatever it is, and they think, I wish I had an annoying uncle to have to put up with because I don't have that. The gospel gives us a desired family. The gospel has made us, if we're in Christ, a family. And I just want to say a word to you. If you're here tonight and you don't have a place to go, there's a handful of families in our church who have told me, we have room for more. Please send them our way. If there's anyone who doesn't have a home to go to, please send them to us. So if you're here tonight and you wish you had a place to go, please talk to me afterward. There's four different places I could send you to tomorrow, people who would welcome you in and love you. That's what the gospel does. It gives us a desired family. It's made us a family of sons and daughters, brothers, sisters, and neighbors and witnesses. And then the fourth thing, the gospel gives spiritual significance to our celebrations. Think about, what are you celebrating without the gospel? Without the core of Jesus Christ at the center of what you're doing, what are you celebrating? We're celebrating some of our American history, which there's different interpretations of that and different realities which went into that. We're celebrating food. We get together, we eat, it's a great time. But without Jesus, without the gospel, it's really just a bunch of chaos with people getting together, eating food, and trying to have semi-civil and understandable conversations with one another. The gospel gives spiritual significance to what we do. Look at verse 17. It says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed. That means that coming together on Thanksgiving Eve at a church building is no more spiritual than getting together at your dinner table tomorrow with your family and friends or maybe someone who invited you into their home. If we keep the gospel in mind, that is a spiritual act of worship. So the gospel actually, it takes something ordinary, something cultural that everyone's doing, but it gives this deep significance and meaning to us. If we keep the gospel in mind, when we sit around a table and eat together and think about Jesus and think about how Jesus sat and ate with the disciples, or think about how Jesus sat and ate with sinners, think about how Jesus shared a meal with his loved ones, that gives a deeper significance and purpose to the feast, the celebration that you'll be having, the many different celebrations that you'll have throughout the holiday season. Keep that in mind. Whatever you do, Whether you're eating turkey, whether you're eating pie, whether you're out in the backyard playing football, whether you're watching a football game, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's saying do everything remembering the gospel, remembering who Jesus is, remembering what Jesus has done, giving honor and glory to him in all of your actions, and it brings spiritual significance to what we're doing. You can really have a mini church service all weekend long as you do your different activities and events together. So I just wanted to remind us there that the gospel gives us new perspective, needed patience, desired family, and spiritual significance as we have all these opportunities to practice the gospel in the coming days, weeks, and months as we approach the holiday season. Let's remember the gospel, proclaim the gospel, live out the gospel, and your gatherings are going to be incredible. At least for you, they will. Think about every opportunity, every annoyance is a chance to grow in the gospel, and your holiday season is going to take a different shape. And every joy, give credit to God, and you're going to find the most fulfillment in that.
I'm going to play a song that I remember from when I was little, and it stuck with me. And I thought it was fitting for tonight as we're thinking about what God's done for us. And I think the song just gets more and more beautiful the older you get. As I look back on this road of travel, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. Well, as I look back on this road of travel, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I have learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer, he is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer, he is faithful and true. As everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. Please stand with us. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe display. then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, oh, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, may you give us the grace and the power to do everything we do this weekend, tomorrow, tonight, all that we do, Lord, eating pie, eating turkey, being with family, going to the mall, watching TV. May we do all of it with you in mind. May we give you free reign in our lives, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you've done. We give thanks to you because you are a good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.